we're to bring beauty to the world. Men are visual. When they see a beautiful girl, I don't want the boys to feel shame. They shouldn't feel ashamed. They're perfectly healthy, natural boys.
We are women encouraging and equipping women to universally and uniquely serve Christ in their feminine vocation.
By embracing joy, laughter, freedom, and friendship, we are seeking to thrive in the trenches of our domestic churches. Oh, oh, oh. Oh,
oh. Welcome to Thriving in the Trenches podcast. This is Becky Carter.
And this is Megan Schreiber. And on today's episode, we are going to be discussing modesty as an act of charity.
We have a great guest today. Her name is Susan Husband, and we asked her to be on our show a couple weeks ago. I had posted a picture on Instagram taking my 13-year-old daughter shopping. We had had an instance maybe about some of the clothing choices and the frustration that she has from boys, and so we decided to make modesty, it's in her control to be more modest than she had already tried to be. So Susan responded to that post, and her comment really grabbed my attention. And I thought, this is definitely a conversation that we want to have with Susan. Susan, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your family?
Okay. Well, I am a mom to 7 amazing boys. I'm married to a fabulous man. His name is Steve. And our boys are Benedict, who will be 16 next week. Andrew is 14. George is 12. Henry is 9. Charles is 5. He will be 6 next week too. And then Joseph is 2 and Blaze is 9 months. And we live in Kansas, and my husband farms, and he also markets commodities to feed yards and dairies. But he has been struggling with Lyme disease for the past 3 years. So our family's been kind of experiencing how to manage the cross of an illness alongside of big family life. So it's been challenging but graceful too. So that's us.
So Susan, when I made that post, I'm going to read your comment, and this is what you said.
Okay.
You said, but thank you for being faithful to your daughter's formation. I dread the warm weather months because immodesty is constantly punching my boys in the face, and it makes me so sad and mad that parents don't do more to guide their girls in the way of modesty.
Yeah, that packs a punch.
True. It's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I certainly didn't mean to come across as being judgmental or critical. It's there's an intense feeling that I have in just trying to, the investment that Steve and I have put into forming our boys to be good men and to be good towards women, to be respectful, to be kind, to be protective, to be sensitive to their needs. I feel like some of that is undermined by girls when they are not dressed appropriately, especially, and it's hard for my boys to keep those principles in place when they're distracted by other things that they shouldn't be. And I think that those distractions can be controlled to a certain degree with a little bit more attentiveness by the girls' parents.
And you know, Susan, I just want to comment, I don't believe you're being judgmental. I mean, as parents are consistently called to judge situations, not judge people's souls. And that's the big difference.
Right.
You know, we're not doing that. So as a mom of 6, 2 boys, 4 girls, And I have girls who are, oh gosh, our oldest is going to be 20 in a month. And I have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. You know, we're in the throes of the other side of that coin. And I told Becky this story the other day. I always had my kids in matching clothes because we had 6 children in 8 years. And so we had, I think our oldest was in 6th grade. It was Easter time. I had the 4 matching girls' dresses, the hand smocked, you know, Peter Pan collars. And she just looked at me and was like, Mom, do I have to, you know, so sweet. Do I have to match with the littles? And I just thought, oh gosh, right. She's in 6th grade. I get that.
Right.
She's 12. So, okay. So off to the store to try to find something that didn't have Peter Pan collars and smocking. And it was like, we went from this sweet little dress to, oh gosh, the possibilities were really, oh, I hate to use this, they were like heinous. I was like, what, how is this possible? Right. How is this possible? So that opened up this big window of really like, oh wow, there is just this massive gap in a little girl transitioning to a preteen, a little bit more mature, and everything was hypersexualized.
Oh, yes.
Right? So it's hard for us to, I mean, we've figured it out, but quickly we had a rule with formal dresses or dances that they would go to, and that was if it's body conscious, it's to the floor, right? So something very elegant. If it's something that you want short above your knees, it can't touch your body. So it's got to be like a baby doll dress, something super flowy, you know, and then of course opaque tights along with that. So it's like trying to work within the parameters of what is on the market and still allow them to have some level of trend and modesty at the same time is a huge challenge.
So big.
Right.
And I have a lot of compassion for you guys because, I mean, when I'm out shopping, I see what's on the racks and I see the challenges. And you guys and myself, when we were growing up, like my parents really didn't even have to deal with this because one of my friends had just posted like a Throwback Thursday picture from when we were in high school. And it, you know, we had like flannel shirts on and kind of like mom jeans. You know, my parents didn't have to worry about modesty. And then we didn't have all of the, with the internet and social media, you know, our generation wasn't bombarded with so many images of what beauty is and standards of beauty. And so, and now these girls, it's just everywhere. And and I think it's probably hard for them to get away from it. And then, so when they go shopping with their moms, they have an idea of what is, like you said, on trend and fun and also beautiful. But it doesn't always match up with our expectations for what a modest dress would be. And so I do have a lot of compassion, but I struggle interiorly when I hear mom say, well, there's just nothing else for her to wear because I just disagree. I just think you have to work a little bit harder at it because I do see young girls at my high school, son's school, and who dress awesome and they're just fabulous girls and they look so beautiful and so dignified. And I just know that it's taken a little bit more effort. And, but I don't disregard the challenge. So I surely don't want you to think that I'm snapping my fingers like this should be so simple.
No. And we appreciate that because, and that's kind of what we experienced is it is a lot harder. You can't just go and get something, you know, so shopping became very painful in our house because it's like, nope, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And they'd come out. I remember being, my daughter put on shorts one time and she walked out and I was like, just go back in. Like, and she's like, what? And I said, go back in and sit down in front of the mirror, like see. And she was like, oh, I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah, it's harder. You got to work harder. It is out there though. It's just, you're going to pay more, tends to be what it is. And you've got to, work a little harder at it. I think some parents probably get a little exhausted. We all know what that's like. It's,
give up.
I have to share another little story that is quite embarrassing for me. We were at a pre-pictures one time before a dance, and in walked this beautiful girl, beautiful figure, but literally falling out of her dress at the top, and it barely covered her cheeks, like at the back, like that's how short.
Aww.
And it almost was shocking. I kind of leaned to my daughter and I said, "How can a father let his daughter out of the house dressed like that?" And she leaned back and said, "She doesn't have a dad." And it was like, oh my gosh. It was really in that moment that I also thought some young women who are dressing like this are dressing like this because there's a huge void in their life, whether it is no right. father or it's not yes. the guidance. They don't have somebody who's loving them enough to say, "Hey, you're right. more than your cleavage and you're more right. than your really great legs." So right. that kind of shifted it for me to have a really great conversation with our girls of, wow, that's kind of sad. That made me really sad. And I feel really bad right. that I even said anything to you and that I even thought like that. So
right.
it's hard. It's really hard. And then, and yet at the same time, there are some girls who do dress like that and have a mom and dad, right? You know, and right. so yeah. that right. just seemed to be yeah. A different situation.
And it's never simplistic. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you said, that you have a variety of situations for all these girls. And so when I wrote the response on Instagram, the key word in the whole response was formation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that a lot of these girls have compromised situations, maybe at home or broken families, or maybe they're just struggling so much interiorly. And so it's a sensitive issue. So I don't want to come across as being critical in nature, but more encouraging, because mm-hmm. I think when there's a gap in girls' understanding of their self-worth and their inherent dignity, but also the way that God has created them to actually be mysterious, because mystery mm-hmm. is so attractive to men. They don't really know that, because they're being bombarded with a message from our culture that is to be immodest in our speech, in our conversations, in the way that we dress, in our actions. It's total opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But the modest girl in all aspects of life is actually so attractive to mm-hmm. boys. Mm-hmm. And so trying to figure out a way to communicate that to girls so that they can have courage to be who they're yes. meant to be.
Right.
They're meant to be mysterious. They're meant to be modest. Mm-hmm. And to trust that the dedication that they have to being true to themselves will attract the perfect guy for them.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, no, I love that. I can remember I was in high school. I might have been high school. Now I'm going to date myself, but I was the girl who was wearing Daisy Dukes. And I don't really remember any comments from my parents. I'm sure they made comments and I ignored them, but I was a very headstrong teen, which is good when you get older, but it's not so wise when you're younger to be headstrong. I can remember when I was younger, I can remember my dad making a comment about a skirt I was wearing, and it was a long skirt. And he said, "You look beautiful in that skirt. I think women who wear long skirts, it's very feminine and very flattering." And I mean, that was just a side remark in passing, and he might have said it more than one, but it sticks with me to this day. Mm-hmm. And I do remember that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But even today on the long skirts, you know, that day that I was shopping with Emery, and our whole point was to go buy more maxi skirts, but even the maxi skirts today are tight and the fabric is thin, and it's still difficult. And I don't know what it is, and it may just be her figure. I know I never look like that at 13, and I almost need to just put her in a brown paper bag. Can I do that? Is that legal?
It's
Can
okay.
I do that?
Yeah.
No, because it almost doesn't matter what you put on her. Mm-hmm. She just grabs your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's really struggling with that.
Yeah.
So I know it's a struggle for her. We talk about St. Rose of Lima. And but at the same time, okay, so we talk about this saint who wanted to downplay her beauty so as to not attract boys. And there is a level of that at age 13 that we need to be talking about, mm-hmm. because there's sure. no reason to be attracting boys right now. And she knows that,
right.
you know, but right. I also don't want her to get to a point where she hates her beauty or she sees her beauty as a burden, because it was God's gift to her. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So it is such a tough, tough balance. And I've already told my older girls that this will be an episode that I definitely want them to listen to, because I want them to hear your point of view, Susan, as a mom of boys. So one of the main things I wanted to ask you is, what do your boys say is their biggest obstacle? And, you know, they're pursuing chastity. They're pursuing, you know, treating women with dignity and respect and honor. But what do they go when they go out into the world and public and they see all these women, what are they coming back and saying?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they they're such awesome kids, and they I think that part of the nature of the way we have just raised them, and some of the decisions that we've made for our family to, with regards to not having some electronic freedoms in the home. And then we're very strict about movies, especially when we screen movies or do research on movies for the boys. You know, I might get some feedback on this, but I can handle some language and violence, but I can't handle inappropriateness sexually with regards to sexuality. So they're just not allowed to go see a lot of movies that their friends can go see, especially if there's anything inappropriate with the opposite sex. And so I think guarding them, and then not just sheltering them from that, there's a compliment that we've tried to really talk to them about. The way that God has designed females and males to be complementary in nature. And so you were talking earlier, Becky, about your daughter and her beauty and wanting to keep that in check, the balance of spending time taking care of ourselves and recognizing our outer beauty, and then keeping that in balance with our inner beauty. But God has actually made girls to, with a desire interiorly towards the beautiful. We're attracted to beauty, whether it's in nature or our homes or clothes or the way we do our hair. And all of those things are really great, because we're to bring beauty to the world, and men are visual creatures. You guys all know this, but so we just teach this to our boys, because I don't want the boys to feel shame when they see a beautiful girl, and maybe she isn't dressed appropriately, but I don't want them to feel shame. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're being lustful. That's wrong. Because they shouldn't feel ashamed. They're perfectly healthy, natural boys. You know, like we went to Florida over the Christmas break, because my husband was there being treated for Lyme disease, and we just had a little visit with them before we went to the beach. You know, we're going to go to the beach, and there's going to be girls that aren't dressed appropriately. And I just want you to remember some of the things that we've taught you about girls, their inherent dignity and beauty, and that if it's difficult for you to be there, then I want you to let us know. We'll go somewhere else, or we'll do something else. But for the most part, because you have to learn how to be in the world. But for the most part, just to answer your question, I'm sorry, I'm kind of wordy, but it's just a constant teaching, but there's no bulletproof protection for them. So they don't really ever come back to us and say, so-and-so was you know, dressed this way. But I will say, unfortunately, that we have come out of church a few times, and there's been girls that are just barely covered in their dresses at church. Mm-hmm. And we will mention something to them, especially to the older boys. Boys, we know you noticed the girl that was sitting in the pew in front of us. We're sorry that that was a distraction, but we don't want you to feel bad about that. That's mm-hmm. And so it's a segue into us talking to them about the modest girl, how to pray for your sisters, and how to make sure you're giving compliments to the girls who are dressed modestly. Thank you. You look so lovely. Thank you for dressing appropriately. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of conversations that are just, you know, kind of down those lines with them.
Well, I love that you, the way you're talking to your boys, and I'm definitely taking some mental notes here, is making sure they know not to feel shame when they see an attractive girl, even though she may not be dressed in the most modest way, that mm-hmm. any feelings that they have being attracted to her is perfectly normal, and do not be ashamed by that. You know,
mm-hmm.
Right. I love that, because we can be so quick to say, well, that's lust and you need to stop. You know, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that part for sure, Susan.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that it always has to, that balance of not having that, that shame in understanding what God's ultimate plan was for the complementarity between a man and a woman. And yes, women are beautiful. And, you know, it's reminding me of a story. Actually, Becky, my friend Sam, had an instance at the grocery store where the gentleman in front of her, and I use that word gentleman, picked up one of the magazines that was on the rack, took it over to the customer service, and was complaining. I'm like, why do you have this? This is so in your face. Like, this should be behind something. I don't know what it was. Could have been Sports Illustrated, I'm guessing. And my friend went up to him and thanked him for honoring women and standing up for us, you know, and that was awesome. And so I feel like you're raising those type of boys, and that's what we're called to do, or we're called to raise our children, to understand that modesty really is an act of charity towards the other person.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, I think with kids in our culture today, they're, sometimes maybe they feel bombarded with rules and boundaries, and but they're still trying to navigate life and navigate school and friendships and the world and family life and then even just their own personal growth and developmental changes. And so one of the things I'm so grateful for my husband, because he has, since the boys were little, he's really just latched on to the incredible idea that we can raise our kids to view life through the lenses of virtue. And when you name the virtues and you just are consistent in naming those with your children, then it becomes part of your everyday interaction, your conversation, where your response to challenging situations is what virtue can I apply to this? And so for the boys, we're using it. Obviously, Christ is the ultimate model as priest, prophet, king. He's the ultimate defender and protector of women. I mean, we can look at his love and tenderness for Mary Magdalene, and in contrast, his own mother. Like, he saw all women, he just saw their beauty and dignity and their goodness, God's goodness in these women. And that's what we're trying to teach our boys, is to see life and see their friendships and especially other girls through lenses of virtue. And so you had mentioned charity, but then also self-control and courage. It takes courage to not maybe be dabbling into the movies or pornography or whatever that other kids are, and or the temptations that are there. And so just that constant conversation and formation of our boys is my prayer, that will help form them in such a way that they will be able to go out into the world and to be encouraging women, to be Obviously, men who or gentlemen to be a true and authentic sense of what it means to be a masculine man in the truest and most pure sense, but definitely their outlook of charity towards women, because they I want them to want the best for girls. And you, if you girls took your girls aside, you mamas took your girls aside, and you asked them to write down a list of things that. What are the top things you would want your want boys to know about your girls? So ask your daughters. Write down what you want your friends who are boys to know about you, and they're probably going to write down all interior things. I want them to know I'm smart. I want them to know that I love Jesus. I want them to know I'm funny, or that I love to babysit, or I love movies, or it's all about. With regards to their character, their personality, their interiority. But because boys are so visual, it's hard for them to get over the exterior and get into the inside. And so if girls can understand that the way that they dress can be either a gateway to their hearts or a stumbling block to their hearts, then I would just hope that that would help encourage them to make good choices about the clothing that they choose to wear.
That's beautiful. Susan, I'm listening to all that last part that you were saying. Now, you had mentioned you did a blog post on modesty, about a year ago, 2 years ago?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you said you'd put it back up on your blog, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes. So is that basically what you talked about in your blog post, what you just...
Yeah, I kind of... it's been a while since I read it, but from what I recall was just really trying to emphasize that there's so much beauty in mystery, and for girls to embrace modesty with the hope and the courage that in them embracing modesty, that it will attract or draw the person that they're looking for towards them. And not that everybody, that's the goal, is to attract a man, but, and not just, it would just be also in friendships. And also the preservation of their personal dignity, because in walking forward, they don't maybe not know what their vocation is. Maybe they're going to be called to, a life of service, of ministry, of maybe they're going to be called to the sisterhood, mm-hmm. whatever it is. It's just you want it to become their sort of their natural way of thinking and acting, because it's proper to their dignity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Makes me think of it. Is it Archbishop Fulton Sheen who said the measure of a man is, I'll have to look that quote up, but basically the way we want our men to act, our women, our girls need to act in a way that deserves it. And
right.
I'll look that up and I'll put that in the show notes too. But basically, if the women are not treating themselves with respect and dignity, then the men are having a harder time, like you said, Susan, doing the same,
right.
doing that for,
right.
you know, to them.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And it's very interesting, because our culture today is, you just look into the headlines and on the news, and women are more unhappy than they've ever been. I mean, we're just screaming for attention and affirmation, and we want to be understood. And but I wish that women as a whole, I'm not saying that all women don't, but if we understood that our power, the power that we have in, not over men, like lording power, but men have strengths and women have strengths. And when we exercise our strengths, they are powerful. But we have the power to lead men in such an amazing way. When we are modest in our action, in our dress, in our speech, and we understand our dignity, men rise up to meet that.
Yeah, that's
they are raised up, just like when men are chivalrous, when they're gentle, when they're kind, when they are respectful. It allows us to experience our own self-worth. Oh, I am beautiful. I am special. Mm-hmm. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And he is treating me with this respect. And then I rise up to be the best woman I can be. And there's such a fracture in our world today in those distinctions between masculine and feminine. And it's so sad because when we're who we're meant to be together, we're so strong.
Yeah.
And it's just sad, but we can, this is why we're having this podcast because
that's right.
Mm-hmm. We walk forward with hope and confidence in our kids and we do our best and want the best for them. And I just want my boys to have a fantastic experience of life relationships, whether it be friendships or, their dating life. And ultimately, I mean, I pray every day for my boys' purity and I pray for their future wives. And I just, life is about relationships because that's how we experience Christ. That's how we experience ourselves and God's goodness. And I want the best for them, but I take very seriously then my job of forming them. Mm-hmm. And I pray that I can meet my daughters someday, my future daughter-in-laws.
Yeah.
Look at them today. I did this for you, you know, like, not that I have control over my kids, that I know that they're not going to be perfect, but my investment has been not just for my sons, but for the girls that my boys will meet and know.
And it's leaving a legacy.
This has been amazing, Susan. You have contributed so much to our thoughts as moms too, and as well as both Becky and I having sons that are a little behind yours. So you've been an inspiration in that. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll come back and be on the show with us again.
That would be such a joy. So I really appreciate you asking me to be here, and I had a lot of fun. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. You were wonderful.
Wow, that was an amazing conversation. It was so refreshing to hear from a mom of all boys who is, you know, kind of struggling with this, being a mom with teenage girls really only at this point and a rising teenage son. I've been on the other side of that. So this has really given me a lot of food for thought. I'm sure, Becky, you're just starting right into this with your oldest being 13, but you can see that this is a real issue that a lot of parents, we need to support each other in.
Absolutely. Yeah, because her viewpoint is beautiful. And honestly, I had not really thought about making sure that I'm not shaming my sons into looking at the beauty of a woman, which mm-hmm. is exactly what God created them to be.
Right, right.
Beautiful and mysterious.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to balance that, which is the key piece of it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that probably brings us to our Bible verse.
Yeah. So we really kind of struggled with this one a little bit, didn't we, Megan?
We did.
really, some things were really heavy and we're not really afraid of being heavy, but, and then we found Romans 14 and we're going to hone in on Romans 14:19. And the scripture is, let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. And just to expound on it, just a tad bit. So Paul is writing to the Romans and he's talking to them about, look, you know, I know some of you are eating meat and that's not bad. God has now declared all things clean. But what you need to be careful about is causing another to stumble. And so, we need to understand that there are men who struggle with the flesh of lust, you know, and out of respect and honoring them, we need to do what we can out of love, out of charity, to not be a stumbling block. And it really is a beautiful thing. And it is freeing. I know I've been looked at by men before, and it doesn't feel good when someone is looking at me inappropriately. And I definitely start questioning my choice of the outfit for the day. Mm-hmm. So it really comes back to not judging others for either their weaknesses or their lack of formation on what is modesty and what is the best way to do, but also thinking about, wow, I really love this person and I'm called to love this person. And in that, I don't want to think that what my choice was in my attire for that day caused a stumbling block and they really struggled that evening, you know, mm-hmm. To not sin.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's a key piece because we don't understand what another person may be struggling with. And are we unintentionally adding to a temptation that they're desperately trying to they're struggling with. So I think obviously if we knew that we would want to be more charitable to somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm having somebody over to the house that I know is battling alcoholism and they've been clean, I'm going to make them very comfortable in my home without alcohol, mm-hmm. right? I'm certainly not right. going. And sometimes we don't know that, right? Sometimes that is something that is private mm-hmm. and somebody doesn't share. But I think to be able to always respond in a charitable way in all of those situations and how we need to move forward in purity and charity and modesty can be an act of that is really good.
Yeah. And I do want to say this because I don't want someone to misunderstand what is being said. If someone sins, regardless of what you are wearing, that is their sin. It is not your fault. I don't want this subject to be taken out of context mm-hmm. and someone blame themselves for someone else's sin. I just want us to realize that in all our manners, all of actions, how we speak, everything, it's a witness to others. And so I don't want people to take that out of context and take it the wrong way.
Right, because we're not responsible for the other person's sin or inability to control themselves, right? So there has to be that balance.
Yes.
And yes, you know, so I'm not saying, you know, for my daughters to wear, you know, chemical warfare suits, right? Because because there might be somebody out there. No, it's just knowing the right way to portray our beauty. And mm-hmm. and I think that's probably it in its simplest form.
Yeah.
is to portray our beauty and our femininity in a really great way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that then leads me to a call to action.
Okay.
So thinking about our week ahead, I'd love if we could all think about, are there areas in our life where we can model modesty to our peers and our children? Well, this has been a great topic. I'd love to hear some feedback from people on it too.
Yeah. Yeah. Some good practical ways too. How have you overcome some obstacles in dressing? Cause it's not easy. It's just not easy. And so I'd love to hear some ideas from others, on how they're doing it, getting it done. So,
that's right.
But don't forget to come follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and check out our show notes at thrivinginthetrenches.com. Make sure that you give us some great reviews on iTunes, help others find us. We always look forward to visiting with you. And guys, thanks for coming.